You are listening to The Christian Commute, a commute-length podcast about Christian apologetics, theology, and other matters of Christian interest. Here is your host, Seth Dunn.
Good afternoon. It is still Wednesday, October 13th. This is The Christian Commute. I'm your host, Seth Dunn, and things feel back to normal. You know why? Because I'm pulling out of the Sketch gas station. I haven't been to Sketch gas station in a long time. And yes, I would have liked to stop at Bucky's and get some brisket, but there's no time. There's no time for that. Number one, I had my fuel computer say I could get one more mile. Now, we all know the fuel computer is a dirty liar, but I wasn't going to chance it. Number two, I've got to get my older kids to football practice by 6. Where I'm going to suggest to the coach that we change some place. Because what youth sports coach doesn't want some dad who didn't sign up and coach the team telling him what they need to do? I'm sure they wish they had thousands of them. Anyway, so that's what I'm doing. And driving back home as normal, I can already tell you, I ain't going to work tomorrow. I'm working from home. I'm beat. If I get up before 8 o'clock tomorrow, I'll be very surprised. Anyway, I got a full show on the way back home. Today's show topic is believing spouse with no discernment. And I've done this show topic before. It was the one I did where I forgot to hit record the other day. This was the specific show topic I did. And I thought it was pretty good. It's not going to be as good this time. It never is. I have a question in the inbox about vaccine mandates. Yep, vaccine mandates. And as always, we have the Bible chapter review. We left off this morning in Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. We continue today on what became a two sticky note show. We continue in verses 27 through 30. Jesus continues, "And who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe the lilies of the field. Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" So in the morning show, we talked about how these people were not shopping at Publix on the food stamps, on the SNAP, and how they were not worried about whether or not their clothes came from Old Navy or the Gap or Banana Republic. They were worried about having clothes at all or having food. And Jesus says, "Who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life?" And the truth is, by worrying, you can't add an hour to your life. And I think the context here is about starving to death or freezing to death. But in the same way, even if you're a very rich man, you can't go to the doctor and buy another year. And Ponce de Leon never found the fountain of youth. And the Guy Pearce in Prometheus, he didn't get the aliens to extend his life. Rich or poor, you're all going to die. Money can't buy you one more hour, so worrying about it doesn't make any sense. And if your faith is in money, you're going to be worried about getting those things that can keep you alive for another day, food and clothing. But if your faith is in God, you don't have to worry, because God's sovereign over life and death. And we know he can resurrect you, just like at the end of Matthew, resurrected Jesus. So being worried, in parentheses, about money and trying to serve money does not add a single hour to your life. Do you you know who can add a single hour to your life? God. He can take away an hour too. Your days are numbered according to Him. Jesus continues, shifting to clothing. And why are you worried about clothing? So here He talks about the lilies of the field. So just think about a nice, peaceful field full of lilies. That looks nice. He says, they neither toil nor do they spin. And that's what you have to do to make your own clothes. You have to spin the yarn and you got to sew it together. Most of you listening have probably never made your own clothes. Maybe your grandma did back in the day. I think my grandparents had some homemade clothes. My mother-in-law can make clothes. I've not seen her make a dress, but I've seen a dress that she brought to my kids that she made. But most of us do not have to toil to make our own clothes. No, some sweatshop worker in Malaysia does that for us. But here we have people who don't, like I said earlier today, have 10 or 20 different sets of clothes in their walk-in closet that they had to make themselves. Now, there's a time commitment here. To grow your own food and to sew your own clothes, you can fail at that. Your crops can fail. You can end up sewing a shirt which Cosby kid was it? It's the one played by Lisa Bonet. Why am I blanking on the names of the kids from the Cosby Show? Denise! Remember that episode of the Cosby Show where Denise convinces Theo to give her money for materials so she can sew him a knockoff Gordon Gartrell shirt? And it's hideous. Like, you can use your resources and mess up a textile when you're trying to sew. It takes work to produce clothes, and we don't really appreciate that in our modern economy. Because I could stop at Target on the way home and buy any kind of clothes I want in like about 5 minutes. Or Belk or wherever you can buy clothes. Some places nicer than others. And Jesus, just like the birds don't sow and they don't reap. They don't toil to make a harvest. And yet they eat. In the same way, the lilies of the field, they don't spin or toil, and yet, Jesus says, Solomon in all his glory was not clothed as these. Hold on, I'm coming up on the lane closure. Guys, I can't take traffic. Coming and going. Why is the lane closed? I'm just going to put a pause on the Bible check until I get past this cop car, this lane closure. Experience traffic tickets. I've had a long day. Please open up. Oh, this is not. I didn't know why this lane is closed. Quite frankly, everything looks fine. Everything is opening back up. Let's go back to talking about Jesus and the lilies. Solomon and the lilies. So you have a beautiful field full of flowers. Why are you worried about clothes? And this is what Jesus says about the grass of the field, looking at all the beauty of that field. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, it's dead, it's burnt up, will He not much more clothe you? Worth more than many sparrows? Are you not worth more than wildflowers? You of little faith. New American Standard puts an exclamation point on there. I wonder if Jesus said, you of little faith. Faith in what? Little faith in God. Don't put your faith in the wrong thing. Put your faith in the right person, that'd be God. If you put your faith in God, you will not have to worry about these things. People who worry about extending their lives, what will we wear, what will we eat, worry as pagans do, worry as people whose God is not, worry as people whose Father is not God. And I think the skeptics will tend to look at these verses and say, well, do you, what, So you people are planning your meals and trying to cook coupons. Why are you worried about that? This is not about being a good steward of your resources. It's two different things. There's a way to live life and be a good steward of your resources and provide for your family. And then there's worrying about food and clothes and not being dependent and having faith in God. There's two different things. It's okay if you don't have any food to think, how am I going to eat tonight? What am I going to do? But what in that you say, well, you know what? I'm a child of God. Whatever happens, I'm going to be okay. And that's the faith part. Not being anxious over these worldly needs. And with that, we'll move on to the inbox. Do you have a question about Christian theology and apologetics? I hope you do, because I'm running out. Send it to SethDunn88@gmail.com. SethDunn88@gmail.com. Or you can dial 470-315-0875. The Christian Commute is your theological roadside assistance. Today's question, which I'm taking out of order, I'm going to have to go back and clean up the inbox because I've done four shows and haven't up. This is the fourth show I've done without uploading it. Technically, it's the fifth show I've done without uploading it because I recorded the show and didn't record it. That's why I couldn't upload it. Anyway. Frank from Maryland. He asked, is it biblical for a government to force people to take a vaccine? Is it biblical for a government to force people to take a vaccine? So first, let's take issue with the wording of the question, because we're pedantic on the Christian community. There are no vaccines in the Bible. We have to realize that. They didn't have vaccines. I don't know if they even understood virology, probably not. So, just like you'd never see an abortion clinic in the Bible, where they vacuum a baby out of the womb, would never see anybody getting a vaccine in the Bible. So if you're looking for vaccines in the Bible and how the government should handle them, you won't find it. This goes under the category of what I call an abiblical thing, something that's not in the Bible, as opposed to something that's unbiblical. Here's an example. It is unbiblical to commit adultery because the Bible talks about adultery and says don't do it. It's unbiblical. It is unbiblical to say that the world was made in 9 days. The Bible says it was made in 6. It is abiblical to say that you should drive a Honda CR-V instead of a Toyota RAV4. That's up to you. And when you talk about getting a vaccine, the Bible doesn't say anything about them. So why would you get a vaccine? The reason you would get a vaccine is that you think it's effective and safe and it's going to protect you from some other disease. And I'm just talking generally about a vaccine. Let's talk about a vaccine that's worked. Smallpox. If you have parents that are my age, they will have a smallpox scar where they were vaccinated for smallpox, which has been eradicated from Earth. I think it exists in a lab. When I was a kid, smallpox, they had some smallpox in Atlanta at the CDC, and I think Russia had one in one of their medical labs. But nobody had smallpox. And my parents have shown me where they got a smallpox shot. When they were little, they got the vaccine for smallpox, and it left a smallpox. But they didn't die of smallpox. And I really don't know how many people got full-blown smallpox after that vaccine. I have no idea. But the reason why you would take the smallpox vaccine, for example, is that you think you're better off for taking it than you would be otherwise. And I really think that's the same for any medical treatment. Medical treatment is inherently risky. Let's say I had a heart problem. Well, I cannot get surgery, and then maybe I've got an 80% chance of dying from my heart problem. Or I can get surgery, and then I'll have a 5% chance of dying from my heart problem because the surgery is going to fix it. But they're going to cut my chest open and poke around on my heart, which might have a 25% chance of killing me. So what do I do? Well, the best bet is to get the heart surgery. That's how medical care works. That's how vaccine works. Some vaccines make you feel bad. When I was 10, I got the flu vaccine for the first time. You know what happened the next day? I got the flu. And I have never taken a flu vaccine ever again. It could have been that I already had the flu, or it could have been that the vaccine made me sick. I don't know, but I can tell you this. I didn't get the flu again until I was, it was 2017. So I was in my 30s. And I got it right when I was graduating from seminary. So I don't take the flu vaccine. And now let's look at the COVID vaccine. I mean, I've heard it makes people feel bad. I have no idea if it works against COVID. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. So if you're somebody who thinks, you know, I might never get COVID. Or if I got COVID, I would get super sick. I might even die because I have this risk factor. So I'm going to take this vaccine. The vaccine might hurt me. But is it going to hurt me worse than getting COVID? Or are the chances of me getting COVID and dying from it worse than the chances of getting the vaccine and dying from it? That's how you make these decisions as a person, I think. And the Bible doesn't really talk about that. That's just, I call it stewardship of your body. And I'm starting to fear that I'm not going to be at the show topic because I'm going on and on. So Frank says, is it biblical for a government to force people to take a vaccine? Well, that is the government deciding what's best for someone's individual medical care, instead of that person. Now, here's the thing. The government might know best in some cases. There's a difference between freedom and having the right to do something or not do something, and it being a good idea. The government gives you the freedom to smoke cigarettes. I really shouldn't say freedom comes from government. Freedoms come from God. The government respects, I should say. Our government here respects your freedom to smoke cigarettes. It's a terrible idea to smoke cigarettes. And there might be some idiots out there who think, oh, this is not going to hurt me. If the government said you can't smoke cigarettes because it's harmful, and you thought, no, it's not harmful, the government would be wrong, and the government would be right, and you'd be wrong. But it's a second question. Is it okay for the government to say ban cigarettes, to have a prohibition on cigarettes? We're just thinking through these things. There could be a vaccine that has a high probability of saving your life and the lives of those around you. And the government knows that, and you disagree. You could be wrong, and the government, or the government scientist, or the government doctor could be right. And I tend not to trust the government workers, because I work in private industry, and if I was a little dumber and less motivated, I would probably work for the government instead of private industry where I make more money. The government nurse or the government doctor is not the doctor I want to see. I want to see the private practice person. Thank you. If I'm hiring mailmen, I want the FedEx man or the UPS man. I don't want the U.S. Postal Service guy. I'm not trying to insult anybody. I'm just saying I think the tendency is for better workers to not work for the government. I mean, who aspires to work for the government? It's one thing to aspire to be in the military. It's quite another thing to aspire to be a government bureaucrat. But there is some possible world where the government people know more about the decision than you. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, is it biblical for them to force you to do it? Well, what do we know from the Bible? Well, we always got to go to Romans 13, right? Because that's where it talks about government. The Bible doesn't talk a lot about government. And here's why. Because eschatologically speaking, and this is just my opinion. I mean, the Bible doesn't say why. This is what I think. Excuse me. eschatologically thinking, the government is on his shoulders. That's Jesus. Jesus is prophet, priest, and king, and he's going to come back and rule, and we're going to live in a perfect theocracy under Jesus. And in the Old Testament, there are civil laws. There is a theocratic government of Israel, which we don't live under. So, I mean, when I say the Bible doesn't talk a lot about government, I should really say the New Testament, because the Old Testament talks about it a lot. But again, that's the government of God's people. It doesn't apply to the pagans. So think about it. God says to the Israelites, go into Israel and live there and have these laws. What about the pagans, Lord? Kill them all. Expel them from the promised land. Don't let any be near you. Right? That is a government for a pure people. But when we talk about the New Testament times, here we have Christians living under the power of civil government, specifically Rome. And Romans 13 says the government is ordained by God and that it does not bear the sword for nothing. It says that it is an instrument of justice. So one of the reasons that the government exists, that God has ordained government, is for societal justice. I didn't say social justice, I said societal justice. If somebody steals from you, the government arrests that person. If somebody murders you, the government executes that person. If somebody breaks a contract, you go to the court, the government enforces the terms of the contract. And governments provide services like the interstate highway upon which I drive. So let me ask you this, Frank. Is it biblical for a government to make an interstate highway? They didn't have interstate highways. They had roads. And the Romans didn't make roads. But the government, the Bible doesn't say anything about should a government make a road. The only thing it says is about government in the New Testament that I can think of is that it's an instrument of justice, that it bears the sword. But the government is that the government is due tax. So I think there's a presupposition. Tax to whom tax is due, honor to whom honor is due. There's a presupposition that if the government is collecting things for taxes, that it's okay for the government to collect things for taxes and use them. And we know that all those Roman taxes were not just for the legal system and criminal justice. They were for things like roads, aqueducts, public works. So I would say, biblically, the government has a right to mete out justice and create public works. Because that would have been a perfect time for Paul to say, don't give them their tax money, lest they waste it on aqueducts. But a public work is a government project on government property. Get down to property here. Whose property are you? You're your property. So, God owns the cattle of a thousand hills. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. God's your father if you're a Christian. So yeah, you belong to God. You belong to God in a special way if you're a Christian, but everything really belongs to God. But you have a property in yourself, and that, let me ask you this, can your neighbor force you to get a vaccine? Your next door neighbor, if he thinks you should get a vaccine, can he force you to get it? The answer is no. If he came and pokes you in the arm with a needle with a vaccine, even if it was a good one, that would be assault, battery. That would be illegal. So if you have a property right in yourself and you don't have a vaccine, does the government have a right to violate your property rights? I don't see where the Bible gives the government that right to violate the property you have in yourself if you don't want that. Remember what I said, like if your neighbor wants to give you the vaccine and you say, no, you can't force me. Well, what if all your neighbors do and they vote, not that they were voting in Paul's day, and they vote to pass a law to give it to you? How is that any different because the quote-unquote government did it? So I don't see anywhere biblically that a government has a right to force you to to take medicine or take a vaccine. And I think the argument on the other side would be, well, they're doing it for the good of everybody. Or at least they think it's for the good of everybody. Because if everyone's inoculated, the disease will be eradicated. And that's a good thing, right? Look at smallpox. Everybody, none of us know anybody with smallpox. None of us. Nor do we likely know anybody with polio. Side note, there's a story I've heard, and I think it's Todd White talking about healing somebody with polio. And I thought about the time that he was telling the story, and like, it was like been in the 70s or 80s. And I'm like, what? This can't be true. No one would have had polio. You can look that up. It was, what's that guy's name? Steve. Amy Spreeman, and why am I blanking on Steve's name? The guy who does the Museum of Idolatry for Pirate Christian Radio and Fighting for the Faith. Steve Kozar. He keeps up with Todd White. You can look up that bogus polio story. But getting back to it, like, we know there are vaccines that work. But I don't see that it's biblical. That it's biblical, Frank. That the government has a right to force people, thereby violating their property rights. I don't see that it's biblical for the government to force somebody to get a vaccine. But here's the thing. Hey, the government ain't run by the Bible, man. They might do it anyway. So you got to think of, like, where do your property rights come from? In the United States, we like to think in terms of enumerated powers. We said the government can't do anything that's not in the Constitution. Unless the Constitution says they can do it, they can't do it. It's not an enumerated power. Now, that's our legal way of thinking. It wasn't the legal way of thinking in the Roman times. But if we take that idea of enumerated powers, we certainly don't see those powers enumerated in Romans 13 or anywhere else in Scripture. We do see this. In the Old Testament, the priest could separate you from the rest of the people if you had leprosy. Now, when I say leprosy, I'm not necessarily talking about leprosy proper, but any kind of communicable skin disease. What happened when people were sick in the Old Testament times? They're inspected by the priest, and the priest could put them outside the camp. So if you have a contagious illness, does the government have the right to separate you from other people? General equity of the law says it does. Or at least that it's not inherently unjust to do so. But we're not talking about quarantining or separating people who are sick. We're talking about forcing somebody to take a vaccine because maybe it will prevent them from getting sick. So I don't see where the government could say, Frank, hey, we have this power according to the Bible, but that's not how our government works, is it? People in our government don't say that. They'd say, they never, separation of church and state, we're not going to say the Bible says we do that. That's the government part of the vaccine question. There is another part of that. Like, should I get the vaccine or not? What does it say about loving my neighbor, et cetera, et cetera? I'll tell you this, I don't have the vaccine, and I'm not planning on getting it. My parents got it because they're old. My brother and sister-in-law got it because they're liberals, and liberals do whatever the government says you should do. But I haven't got it, my wife hasn't got it, and my thing is, I didn't think COVID was that serious for me and for my family. Serious enough where I want to take some untested, hastily made vaccine. And I know why the vaccine was hastily made, because COVID was killing people all over the world. I get it. But when I think I got a 99.9 chance of living, why am I going to take a vaccine that could have some side effect? And that's risk management. Guys, that's the risk management I started at the beginning of the show. I thought I was at greater risk to take the vaccine than to take it. So that's why I haven't taken it. It wasn't a decision. Well, I'm not going to let the government tell me what to do. So I don't want it. I don't want to, because I think I know how to manage my own risk. And speaking as someone who's had COVID, I'm really not afraid of COVID. I wasn't even that sick. I was just sleepy. I don't like to sleep. Cut me off, Jeep Cherokee. So, let's see. I don't have enough time to do the show topic. So this is going to be one of those times where, oh, I got a full show, but not really going to run out of time. So, maybe I'll title the show something about government powers or something. But these are the things you guys need to think through. When you're thinking about enumerated powers, well, that's your mindset. Can you apply that? Are you putting your hermeneutic on the Bible to the government's enumerated powers? Maybe the government does have, maybe it is okay for the government to do a myriad of things that aren't enumerated in Romans 13. Maybe not. What I know from Romans 13 is that the government can do public works, the things it raises taxes for. Because that's what, in that, especially in that day, that's what the taxes were for. To help run the government and to mete out justice. That's absolutely biblical, and that's instituted of God. It's an instrument of God's justice. We owe tax to whom tax is due, honor is to whom honor is due. So let me ask you a question. Do you owe the government your arm and your bloodstream to get vaccinated? And I see no biblical argument that says you do. Thanks for listening to Christian Commute. Lord willing, I'll be back with you again tomorrow. As always, God bless. And as always, remember, Christianity is not about getting saved. It's about being saved.
Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Please send your questions about Christian apologetics and theology to SethDunn88@gmail.com. If you are not a Christian, please remember that you can be reconciled to God through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Repent of your sins now and accept Jesus as Lord. God bless.